Harper Audio presents The Myth of the Rational Market, a history of risk, reward, and delusion on Wall Street by Justin Fox, read by Alan Sklar. Introduction. It had been working so exceptionally well. On the fourth Tuesday of October in 2008, 82-year-old Alan Greenspan paid a visit to Capitol Hill to admit that he had misunderstood how the world works. Sitting at the witnesses' table in the hearing room on the first floor of the Rayburn House office building, the former Federal Reserve Chairman started by reading a statement that tried to explain what had gone so wrong with financial markets over the past year. After asking Greenspan a few questions, the chairman of the House Committee on Government Oversight and Reform, California Democrat Henry Waxman, summed up. "In other words," he said, "you found that your view of the world, your ideology, was not right. It was not working." "Precisely," replied Greenspan. "That's precisely the reason I was shocked, because I had been going for 40 years or more with very considerable evidence that I was working exceptionally well." During those 40 years, especially the 19 during which Greenspan was the world's top central banker, financial markets grew to play an ever larger and less fettered role. The stock market boomed for most of Greenspan's years at the Fed. Bond markets boomed, too, and expanded into new territory as Wall Street whizzes took mortgage loans and auto loans and credit card debt off the balance sheets of banks and repackaged them into asset-backed securities sold to investors around the world. The most dizzying growth came in over-the-counter derivatives, custom-made financial instruments, options, futures, swaps, that tracked the movements of other financial instruments. With them, traders could insure against or bet on moves in currencies or interest rates or stocks. In recent years, it had even become possible to use derivatives to insure against loans gone bad. From 1987 to 2007, the face value of over-the-counter derivatives rose from $866 billion to $454 trillion. As Fed chairman, Greenspan had celebrated this financialization of the global economy. These instruments enhance the ability to differentiate risk and allocate it to those investors most able and willing to take it, he said in 1999, referring to derivatives in particular. Greenspan had once expressed the worry in 1996 that stock markets might be losing themselves in a frenzy of irrational exuberance. When they kept rising after that, he took the lesson that the market knew more than he did. This was Greenspan's ideology, and it had been widely shared in Washington and on Wall Street. Financial markets knew best. They moved capital from those who had it to those who needed it. They spread risk. They gathered and dispersed information. They regulated global economic affairs with a swiftness and decisiveness that governments couldn't match. And then, suddenly, they didn't. The whole intellectual edifice collapsed in the summer of last year, Greenspan admitted at the October 2008 hearing. That was when the private market for U.S. mortgage securities collapsed, beginning a fitful unraveling of asset market after asset market around the world. Distrust spread. Many previously thriving credit markets shut down entirely. Bank runs, long thought to endanger only actual banks, threatened any financial institution that ran on borrowed money. After Greenspan's successor at the Fed, Ben Bernanke, and Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson decided in September 2008 not to step in to avert such a run on Lehman Brothers, global finance virtually ceased functioning. It took a partial government takeover of the financial system not just in the United States, but in Europe, to bring back even a modicum of calm. Greenspan struggled to explain what had gone wrong, because the intellectual edifice around which he had built his thinking simply didn't allow room for the events of the preceding 14 months. This was the edifice of rational market theory. The best-known element of rational market theory is the efficient market hypothesis, formulated at the University of Chicago in the 1960s with reference to the U.S. stock market. The belief in the so-called rational market that took hold in the years that followed, though, was about more than just stocks. It held that as more stocks, bonds, options, futures, and other financial instruments were created and traded, they would inevitably bring more rationality to economic activity.